Amen. We want to welcome you to Crossing. We're glad you're with us today. If you're visiting, thanks for coming. Our vision and mission in life is to literally spread this hope of Christ all across this world. We see this being planted, going out through planting churches. We've planted one already, Movement Church in Salina. They're doing an incredible job. We have another one coming up here in the fall, and it'll be True Light Assembly, and we're excited about what God is doing with them. And just seeing this vision of multiplication take place. Our vision's never to be big, but to be wide, to have a wide footprint and reach people for Christ that they can experience and know the same hope that we have. The mission to do that comes through our simple statement of becoming disciples that makes disciples of Christ. We do that by the great commandment and the great commission. The great commandment, Matthew 22, tells us to love God with all our heart, our mind, and our soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves. We believe that's becoming a disciple. But then making disciples in the great commission, not just accepting that as an ending point, but realizing we have a mandate and a mission. In the great commission, Matthew 28, to go into all the world, and he said, make disciples. And so that's our vision and mission. That's why we exist. We're in the middle of a series called What's in the Box. We took a break last week because of sports camp. And if you were part of that, what an amazing, amazing experience we had. Thank you for all those who served and gave your time and effort. Let me just give you a quick update. You may not have seen it. We had over 132 kids come through this process, and it was crazy exciting. Out of that, 88 of them made a decision to follow Christ. Isn't that awesome? Come on, give God praise. Yeah. 51 was the first time salvation, and 37 had rededicated their lives to Christ. And so we're just excited because that's part of the mission. That's part of the vision of people discovering Christ, becoming a disciple, and making disciples for him. We've been in a series called What's in the Box? And dealing with this concept of your life. You can only fill your life up with so much. And the reality is that all of us at some level, at some point in your life, come to a point where you feel like you're suffocating, you're drowning, and you don't know how you're going to make it. You're like a fish out of water, just grasping for air. And when you come to those moments, they're kind of life checks, they're aha moments, they're reality checks that bring you to a point to say, what is in my box? What is truly important in my life? And we looked at the first week, what is the one thing? We have so many other things, but what's the true? It's the biggest item. What do you fill your life with? Because that right there has a true indication and literally an effect of everything else that you're going to face in your life. And we looked how Scripture tells us to learn to walk in the unforced rhythms of grace. When you can put your priorities straight and put Christ first, everything begins to shift. The rhythm that feels out of sync starts to line up. The second week, we looked at how we have to learn to listen to the gentle whisper of God. That when you're suffocating, when you're drowning, there's things coming from all around you, but you've got to learn to slow down and simply be still and know who God is and listen to his voice. And we talked about how you can listen to his voice. You can go and listen to these on the podcast if you'd like and catch up. But today, I want to talk to you about the third element I believe that's important in discovering what's in your box and how to find strength and breathe in difficult times. And it's simply this. You must have confidence that your God will see you through any situation you face. Now, we look at James chapter 1, and it tells you to count it joy when you go through hard times. And this in itself, it preaches good, but it's not easy to live, as we've discussed before. It's hard when you're the one who's facing a problem. It's a great scripture to quote to people in a problem, right? We love to quote it. Oh, brother, just count it joy. But when you're in pain, it ain't joyful, is it? Let's be real. It's like, this is not fun. There's nothing fun about this process. But yet in that process, there is growth taking place. But through it all, you have to be able to say it as well. You have to be able to trust that God is going to see you through. And so today, I want to look at your confidence and answer the question, where does your confidence lie? What is important to you? Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, it really deals with this issue of confidence and where it lies and what we put our hope and trust in. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Some scriptures, versions say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Now, here's the scripture we love. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. right? Don't you love that? In other words, if you're going to worry about it, don't pray about it. If you're going to pray about it, don't worry about it. But he goes on, he says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right, and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you've learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Now, when you look at this passage, the very first question I see him asking is, where is your confidence placed? He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Be happy. Look, it says always be full of joy in the Lord. When you study the scripture in the Greek and you look at the original text, the word joy in itself, we think of as a happy, exuberant process. But joy at its core means hope. It means you're hoping for something better than what it is. When you go back to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, one of the most popular quoted verses, we say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That word right there, it literally meant the hope of the Messiah. The joy of the Messiah, the hope that a Messiah was coming, because at that time, Christ had not come. When we look at it in the New Testament, we talk about joy. It speaks of the hope of glory, knowing that God is coming to receive us and we will go to heaven and we will be with him. Good times are coming. Amen. I mean, good times are going to happen and we can have that hope. But he's telling us it's an issue of confidence. Where is it placed? Is your joy placed in circumstantial evidence and circumstantial situations? Or is your joy placed on the principality and the ruler of all things, which is God? Is your joy placed in God or the things of the world? And if they're placed in the things of the world, guess what? You're doomed for destruction because you will be let down in life. You know, it's the whole adage, life is tough, right? That's life. How many times have you told your kids that? You know, life's not fair, right? We love to tell it to them, but it's hard to live. But it's true. Life's not fair. It rains on the just and the unjust. We all go through situations in life. But where our confidence is placed will have a direct impact on our direction, on our thoughts, on our attitudes, on our level of growth. Proverbs 3, which is a very popular passage. Remember, we see this in 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understandings. But then at the end of the passage, it tells you this. When you go through hard times, look at verse 26. The Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Verse 25, right before that, says, if you feel like you're overwhelmed, if you feel like you're not going to make it, the Lord is your confidence. You see, God is there. When your confidence is placed in the Lord, you can know that good things are going to happen. Does it mean that you won't have problems? No, but it means you have hope and it's not misplaced. Some of you may remember the boxer, James Quick Tillis. James Quick Tillis, he was known, he's born in 57, kind of grew up in that era, and he's known for one of the first fighters to ever last the duration of Mike Tyson. Y'all remember Mike? Yeah. Mike Tyson's punch out, if you're my age, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. We played that till the wee hours of the morning. But you had Mike Tyson knocked everybody out immediately, but this guy withstood the distance. James Quick Tillis is from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I love this story. He decided that if he wanted to hit it big, if he wanted to get big, he needed to go up to Chicago to train, where some of the greatest fighters would come out of. So he decided to pack his bags and go to Chicago. He had a trainer. So he gets off the bus and he has his suitcases in hand. And the first place he goes is Sears Tower. He said, I want to see the biggest, baddest building they got in town. And so with confidence, he goes right up to that building. He puffs that chest out with pride. He looks up at that Sears Tower, puts those suitcases down. And he says, Chicago, welcome to James Quick Tillis. He said, I'm going to conquer you. And he reached down to grab his suitcases and someone stole them. Quickly, he realized he wasn't near as quick as he thought he was. And that the confidence he had in himself was misplaced. So many times we do the same thing. We come against opposition and we say, I got this covered. We want to do it on our own. We want to be self-made men, women. We can do it. We got this. But there comes a point where you have to be secure in Christ. Your confidence has to lie in Him, not in your own ability. You have to know that God is going to see you through. God is going to help you. But you've got to be willing to place your confidence in Him, not in yourself. The second thing I see from this passage is the question, who do you confide in? To have confidence in someone, you must confide in them. And if your confidence is God, how often do you confide in Him? Or is you confide in other people? Look at the scripture. Verse 6 again, it says, tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which will exceed anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, everyone confides in someone. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's someone, a stranger. But we all have people we confide in. Sometimes it's your parents, right? If you're older, when you're younger, you realize parents have about a 10-year gap where they lose their mind. Anybody ever experienced that? My parents were really dumb for about 10 years. And then they got real smart again. Now we've discovered, now that we have a teenager in the house, that we're stupid. You know, give us a few years, we're told, and we'll become a whole lot smarter. But, you know, there's this process. We confide in parents, right? We confide in people. We think that maybe they can help us. And oftentimes, the last person we confide in is God. You know, when we often turn to God, when we can't do it, when it's out of our hands, when we don't have the ability, we say, okay, God, now I'm going to trust you. What would it look like if you trusted God first? What would it look like if you confided in Him before anyone or anything else? Because here's what we know. No one cares more for you than God. You believe that? No one. There's no one on this earth that cares more for you than God Himself. 1 Peter 5, 7 tells us this. Give all your worries and cares to God. Why? For He cares about you. You know what 1 Peter 5, 8 says? Satan's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Before he warns you that Satan's trying to devour you, he also gives you peace to say, just trust me. Confide in me. Give your cares to me. Yes, on the natural things may look bad, but if your cares and your trust and your confidence and your security is in me, then you can have peace in knowing I am with you. The third element we see here is, where is your attention focused? Look at verse 8. It says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. What's he saying? Focus your attention on the right things. Here's why this is so important. There's a principle that plays out in all of our lives. And it's this. What you focus on expands. Have you ever noticed that? What you focus on expands. You ever played the game Slug Bug? Oh, come on now. If you had siblings, you played Slug Bug, if for no other reason, a free shot, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like, Slug Bug, yes. That was legal. You know, it was all in the game, right? But our kids love Slug Bug. You know, Slug Bug, no slapbacks. You know, you have all the little adage. And now I've learned there's Beep Jeep and everything else. I'm like, wow, what was that? You know, that's like, Slug Bug wasn't enough. I guess poor VWs, they're just kind of off to the side. They're not as strong as those little bugs once were. But, you know, there's this process in this as we walk through it. When you look at them, you're looking for them, aren't you? Have you ever noticed when you got a new car, you see everybody around you with the same car and you never noticed that before? Like, you didn't even see the car. You're like, hey, I thought I was the only one, you know, but it's because what you focus on expands. When you focus on bad, guess what? It gets bigger. When you focus on what you don't have, it gets bigger. When you focus on God and you say, God, I'm going to trust, I'm going to focus my attention on you, guess what? The problems get smaller. There's an old song growing up. It said, turn your eyes upon Jesus. You remember that? Look full in his wonderful face. It says, and the things of earth, you remember the words, will grow strangely dim in what? The light of his glory and grace. What does it say? It doesn't mean the things of earth just disappear, does it? There's still problems, but my focus has shifted. And when you're looking at confidence, it starts with who is your confidence placed in. It deals with who do you confide in, but what are you focusing on? If you're focusing on all the negative, guess what you're going to feel? Bad. I know this is hard. It's rocket science, isn't it? But if I sit there and say, oh, I hate my job. Oh, I can't make it. Oh, guess what? That job's going to get worse. That boss is going to get worse. If you're the boss, you're in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Because you're focusing on that. But what would happen to your confidence if you begin to say, look, it's in you. God, I'm going to trust you. I don't know how you're going to see this through, but I don't have to know how. All I have to do is trust you. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes, catch this, on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. It's your perspective, how you look at it. I heard a story growing up of these two hunters named Joe and Sam. Joe and Sam, their wolves were a big deal. And the wolf hide was worth a lot of money. And so Joe and Sam decide, we're going to be rich. Let's go make some money. So this is back in the rustic days. So they take their guns and they reach out and they start going hunting. And they kill a couple wolves and they go ahead and tan them right there and have the meat there roasted and eat on it and stuff. And they're literally laying in this valley, this kind of up against this this cliff. And they're just kind of, they find a good place to get out of the cold and just relax. And they're thinking, man, this is going to be productive time. In the middle of the night, they hear the sound, this rustling around them. And they look up, and that wolf that they thought they had killed was a part of a pack. And the wolf pack had literally surrounded them around their fire and began to growl. And they could hear this. Joe wakes up. He says, Sam, get up. Get up. Look. Look around you. Sam wakes up and sees that he is trapped. Joe said, Sam, can you believe this? There's $10,000 just waiting on us right there. You see, it's all about perspective. Sometimes what you may think is there to destroy you could be the greatest opportunity in your life. But you got to look at it. Who is your confidence placed in? What are you focusing on? Yourself or on God? And the last one is this. Last principle we see is this. Ask the question, where do you start? Where do you start? Look what it says. Verse 9, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. So what is he saying? Keep putting into practice. Anybody, you remember in our house, we love Christmas. So you remember the old Santa Claus, like the old Santa Claus? They run them on CBS, you know, Kris Kringle and that. You remember Kris Kringle's out there? I'll never forget that song he had when he was kind of there moping dopey. Remember that song? Put one foot in front of the other. Am I the only one here? I know Mandy knows, but she sure ain't helping me here. He goes, and soon you'll be walking across the floor. You remember that? If you don't, watch it. It's a good movie. If you have kids, you'll get to see it, I promise. But isn't that simple but true? It simply is taking one foot, isn't it? Sometimes all you have to do is step forward. The hardest step to take is always the first one. Always. Because it's scary. Usually we don't know how or what or when. But when you begin to put that foot in front of the other, guess what? You begin to find momentum and you begin to see that, guess what? God's going to help me. That's why he says, put into practice the things you've been taught. Do it. Many times, many of you know, this is not new information. You know your confidence should be in God. You know you should seek his face. You know you should focus on him. But the reality is we don't, do we? It's taking the very things you know and simply doing them. John Maxwell, who is known as one of the great authors in leadership, he's so funny. I was listening to him talk one time because he's written like 80-something books, you know, and people are like, how do you do this? Like, how do you write so much? And he talks about every day I read, every day I write, every day I ask questions, and every day I file. He has these list of things he does every day. People say, well, how often do you do that? He said, every day. Well, what about Christmas? He said, every day. What about your birthday? Every day. He said, but here's the trick. He said, here's the trick. And you're waiting for this great advice, right? He says, you ready for this? Every day when you face this, three words. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. He said, I tell myself that every day. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Do it now. Even though he's been successful and wrote many books, he faces the same hard first step that many of you take. He's human just like you are, just like I am. And the truth is, we get tired, we get weary, we want to quit, we want to give up. But you know what? Sometimes we just have to do it now. We've got to trust that God knows what we're facing, that God is in control. And when you do, it begins to build inside of you. Andre Crouch had a song that he wrote years ago, and it talks about the different people who've gone through hard times in the Bible. But there's a course here, and I want to teach it to you. I had a coach in high school that would always do this at FCA. Many of you may remember been a part of FCA. We'd sing this, and I remember the first time I heard it, I thought, well, that's kind of corny, you know. It's like, but the more I began to do it. As football players, you're trying to be cool, you know, like, that's not cool, you know. And then you start to realize, well, there's something to this. But he'd have us start with one finger. And we'd sing this verse. I want you to learn it with me. He goes, I've got confidence. My Lord is going to see me through. No matter what the case may be. My Lord is going to fix it for me. And then we go to two fingers and we start going, I've got confidence. All right, why don't you try it? I sang it for you once. Now, this is participation here. I'm not a solo. So you're actually going to have to take your finger out. And I want you to see something that will happen. We're going to do one finger. The second time, it's not hard. We're going to do two fingers. But do this with me. Don't leave me hanging. Some of you are looking at me right now. That looked like ain't no way, bro. Don't leave me hanging. Are you ready? For those that leave me hanging, the rest of you sing a little bit louder. All right, ready? I've got confidence. My Lord is going to see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know he's going to fix it for me. Two fingers, ready? I've got confidence. My Lord is going to see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know he's going to. Three fingers, here we go. I've got confidence. My Lord is going to see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know he's going to fix it for me. Four fingers. I've got confidence. My Lord is going to see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know. Everybody, all hands. Here we go. I've got confidence. My Lord is going to see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know he's going to fix it for me. Now give yourself a hand. I'm so proud of you. You didn't leave me hanging. Now, I remember as an 18-year-old kid thinking, that's a little weird. But it began to stick with me. Because isn't that how we start? We're kind of like, I got confidence, Lord. This is a little weird. It is a little weird, isn't it? But by the end, when everyone's clapping, you start saying, hey, this ain't so bad. The same is true when you have confidence in Christ. Because let me just tell you, you were created in the image of God. And with that, you were created with your free will. And in that free will, you have choice. In that choice, God allows you to make your own decisions. And through your own decisions, you often rely on yourself. But the moment when you start saying, God, I'm going to trust you, it's a little weird. And it doesn't even seem right. But with every step that you take, guess what? You start building confidence. And that confidence is no longer in your ability. That confidence is in God. Because you recognize He's what's in the box. He's the most important one thing. And if I can trust Him, I can walk in His rhythm and things start to work out for my good. Blessings start to come that I don't even understand because I'm trusting Him, not me. It opens my ears to hear Him speak, and I begin to listen to Him even more than before. And then beyond that, I can have confidence that God's going to see me through whatever I face. And I want to challenge you today. Maybe you're here and you feel like you're suffocating. You feel like you're drowning. And you're wondering, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Know this. You can have confidence that God is going to see you through. I want you to close your eyes today and reflect on that, what the Lord is speaking. Maybe you're here and you're like, man, I do feel like I'm drowning. I don't know what I'm going to do. And as we were talking, God began to show you that confidence can come through Him, that you don't have to look down on yourself. You see, often we look at ourselves and say, well, you don't know me. You don't know all the baggage I have. You don't know what I'm facing. Guess what? I don't have to. God knows you because God created you and God loves you. And can I let you in on a secret? There's not a person sitting here today that don't have their fair share of baggage. Some of us are just a whole lot better at hiding it than others. But the reality is today, all of us need God's grace. I'll be the first to say, I know I need it. And maybe you're here today and you're suffocating, you're drowning, and you don't know Christ. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Him. You didn't know that you could have confidence in something else. You thought it was simply had to be your own strength. But yet God is speaking to you today, letting you know that you can trust in Him and He's going to help you no matter what you face. Maybe you're here and you know what? You've had confidence in Him before. You've trusted Him before. But the reality is life, it got you down. Life distracted you, pulled you away. And before you knew it, man, he wasn't a priority anymore. It's not that you don't love God. You got busy. And God's reminding you today that, hey, that confidence needs to be in me, not yourself. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ or you want to rededicate your life to Him, I want to give you that opportunity with no one looking around. I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. If you'll simply just make eye contact with me and say, pray for me. I want to pray with you right today, right where you're sitting. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Anyone else today? You're saying, hey, just pray for me. I need my confidence in Him. I want trust in Him. Anybody else? Amen. Listen, we're all there. All, Bible says, all have sinned. That means every one of us. But it says we're saved through His grace and His mercy. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Just wait one more moment. God's still moving. Let's pray. We read in Romans chapter 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe that He is Lord, that you are saved. It's that simple. Making a confession to Him. But then beyond that, it's believing. It's making a choice to follow Him and live a life for Him. So we're going to pray, and that's the confession. But the belief comes when you begin to say, okay, now I'm going to step out and I'm going to follow you, Lord. Let's all pray together right now. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I choose to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's that simple. But now the next step comes when you say, okay, Lord, now I'm going to live a life for you. And allows you to begin to say, you know what, like we sang earlier, it is well. It doesn't mean that there's not hardships. It's just I know where my peace lies. I know where my strength lies. It doesn't lie in my ability. My confidence lies in Christ Jesus. And that's the key. If you're looking at what's in your box, you're trying to come back to the one true thing. Know this. Your confidence has to be in Him. Because when it is, that's when great things happen. Because you're no longer trying to do it yourself, but you're relying on Him. Can I tell you something? His word don't return void. He's always there for you. He's going to see you through. Amen?